Lake Effect continues now on Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Mitch Tyke.
And I'm Bonnie North. This past weekend saw the opening of Holmes and Watson at the Milwaukee Rep. This production is the Midwest premiere of the play and is directed by the Rep's former artistic director, Joe Hanready.
It stars Norman Moses and Mark Corkins, two men very familiar to Milwaukee theater audiences. Between them, they have more than 60 years of onstage experience, and in this play, they get to show off all of that skill and experience to great theatrical effect.
I met with Corkins and Moses a couple of weeks ago just before a rehearsal, and they obliged by offering us this tidbit from Holmes and Watson.
So, is the great detective here among us?
Well, they are rather similar.
That has been the challenge.
Of course, it has been 3 years, and none of these men appear to be at his physical best.
I hope you're not saying you don't recognize him. If you can't identify Mr. Holmes, I haven't a clue where we'll turn. His brother Mycroft is reported to be on a mission of great sensitivity and cannot be reached. Your former landlady, Mrs. Hudson, is visiting her sister somewhere in the wilds of Wales. There aren't even any photographs of Mr. Holmes to make comparisons.
Yes, I fear Holmes was notorious for not allowing his picture to be taken. Perhaps the patients might, speak?
To you?
Yes.
What would you propose be the subject of your exchange?
His return to life. How he survived the falls at Reichenbach.
Reichenbach.
You are acquainted with the incident.
Not comprehensively. I know it was reported on at the time.
The particulars were extremely condensed. My own was the fullest account.
I'm afraid I haven't read it. I don't care much for fiction.
My stories are not fiction.
They are stories, though. They appear alongside fiction in the popular press?
Guilt by association?
Surely you don't claim they have the same veracity as news items?
I take great pains in my writing to represent the incidents as accurately as possible.
I'm sorry. But accounts written long after the events they purport to portray, combined with the demands of the market to satisfy the public taste, do suggest a certain, shall we say, imprecision.
What do you know of the case?
Just that Mr. Holmes died following an altercation with a retired teacher?
Professor Moriarty was the Napoleon of crime.
Delusions of grandeur there.
Gentlemen, it is so great to see you both again. Thank you for that reading.
Oh, you're very welcome.
Oh, yeah, thank you.
Good to see you, Bonnie.
This must be fun.
We are having a great time. It is such a great group of artists, and the play is such a challenge and so much fun. We laugh a lot. It's great. Yeah.
Yeah, and you get to do voices. Accents.
We do. Actually, Claire Hayden, our dialect coach, was the person who first thought, hey, what if Dr. Evans was a Scot? And it made sense. Takes place in Scotland, off the coast of Starkhaven.
So, without giving anything away, Norman, can you give me an idea of the premise of the play?
Well, if you were read any of the Sherlock Holmes canon, there is one of the stories, The Final Problem. And people may know this from the Sherlock Holmes movie with Robert Downey Jr. It's when Professor Moriarty and Sherlock Holmes have a final struggle at the falls of Reichenbach, which is a very high falls, and they both fall over the edge of the falls and are both presumed dead. And it is a period of about 3 years, and then eventually Sherlock Holmes does resurface. And this kind of takes place in between The Final Problem, which is the last one of one series of his books, and the beginning of the next series, which is, I think, the Empty House is where Holmes makes his return. So our play kind of takes place sort of, not quite in between. It's not based on any real story. He's taken information from the stories and created his own premise. And Watson has been called upon to identify people claiming to be Sherlock Holmes over the past several years.
So he hasn't resurfaced yet.
He hasn't resurfaced in this in our version. So Watson is sort of the debunker. He goes and he gets this mysterious message, a telegram saying that there are three people claiming to be Sherlock Holmes on an island in an asylum in the middle of nowhere in Scotland. And, it takes him
in
about...
In the winter, too, right?
Very exclusive.
Very exclusive.
Yes, and somewhat remote. isolated, one might say.
Yes,
so.
There are fairies involved.
Fairies and skiffs and shallops.
Yes.
All these these great boats.
Police cutters.
Yeah, a lot of boats. I didn't even think of that.
And Mark, you are Dr. Evans, who is sort of in charge of this.
Yes, I'm a psychiatrist, and I'm the, shall we say, chief medical officer of this rather exclusive asylum. And I'm the one who admits in a very short span of time three individuals, all of whom certainly fit the physical description of Sherlock Holmes, but they're all claiming in one way or another to be the late great detective. And as you heard in the scene, we've reached out to Holmes' brother and his former landlady, and we've sent a telegram to Dr. Watson in London to see if he'd be willing to come out and interview the gang.
Yes, because Dr. Watson would know.
He would know. He would know. Which is the real Sherlock Holmes, even though it's been a few years and Holmes is notorious for disguises. But that's the idea, is that he would instantaneously know who he was. But things are not always, are not what they seem to be at the asylum. So Watson kind of goes on the defensive a little bit to try to figure out
what's really happening.
What's really happening.
Well, and the layers that are written, that Jeffrey Hatcher has written into this, are delicious. I mean, there's so much that you think you figured it out, and you haven't. And again, without giving anything away, was it fun for you when you sat down with the whole cast to actually work your way through the actual script to the end?
Yes. Joe Hanratty, our director, has assembled a cast of not only very talented actors, but really smart, curious people. And we ran into, during our several table days over the table, looking at the script, lots of places where, hey, wait a minute, wait, how does this connect? And then we all put our heads together, and we think we found. we were just aware of the fact that there will be Holmesians out there. There's going to be fans who are very familiar with the canon. And what are we going to say at talkbacks when people who really know the material ask us, hey, what about? And I think we've done pretty well.
We have, and it's been a real process. The play is so layered, as you say, that every day you'd go home and you start thinking about stuff. You think you'd found a hole in the script. Oh, Jeffrey's, slipped up here. This doesn't make sense. This couldn't have happened in this situation. Then you go home and you start thinking about it, and all of it kind of, you start piecing things that you've heard in the play, and it's like, oh, God, how stupid am I that I didn't put that together? Oh, of course, that makes perfect sense. And it's just been a process of every day. It's sort of like a new revelation, and you bring that in, you're sharing those ideas, and it's like, oh, no, it's not really quite what we thought it was. It really is more this, and it's just much more interesting and intriguing that way. So it's been a real challenge, and like Mark says, it's got a room full of really bright people who just are sort of relentless in their in their dedication.
That's what you want, relentless actors.
Yeah. And Joe is a very, very smart director, and all of us putting our heads together, the hive mind of, I think, as Mark said, I think we have figured it out. There are a couple of moments still that I am not quite 100% sure about, but I think that kind of makes it fun a little bit. It's a sort of an unknown moment in the play that even we as the characters are not quite sure what's going on with each other, and
Yeah, the other thing that is somewhat unique about this play is, we started doing run-throughs here in the rehearsal hall maybe a week ago, and we were coming in under 80 minutes, right, and knowing that once we add all of the technical elements that will flesh out, and then of course, a theater full of people will also add a little time. But it's amazing that it's like getting on a ride, and it just keeps accelerating. there's a few little slower moments, memory sequences. But it's really exhilarating, and that is what made it necessary for us to really navigate, okay, where are these turns, and how sharp are they, and how do we articulate them for an audience who may be obviously seeing this for the first time because it's so new, but also maybe people who the only thing they know about Sherlock Holmes is the pipe and the deerstalker hat. Maybe they've never read or seen a film. So it has been really exhilarating.
I'm just sitting here listening to you too. When was the last time you were in a show together, besides the Door County?
I was doing a little research this morning on my computer. I keep my database of all the shows I've done. And Mark, actually, and I, the last time we worked together on the Powerhouse stage here at the Rep was in 1988. Well, it would have been 1989, but it was when his daughter, Molly, was born, and several months after that, my daughter, Kelsey, was born. We were doing Precious Memories.
Yes.
When Molly was born, I looked that up.
Yes.
Played by Romulus Linney, directed by John Dillon. This was during the John Dillon era.
Wow.
And then we were doing She Stoops to Conquer.
When Ken Albers directed that.
That's when my daughter was born, and our understudies had to go on for us.
That's right. It's been a while.
It's 20 years. Yeah, it's as old as our children are.
I was going to say almost 30 years.
Yeah, almost 30 years.
That's amazing, because I was thinking, you know, I've interviewed you both for different shows over the years since I've been here, and I've been here almost 12 years, and I thought, they've never been in a show together that I've talked to you about. And so that I was trying to think. And so, no, I wasn't around the last time you were on the Powerhouse stage together.
We did do the Scottish play with Milwaukee Shakespeare.
Yes, and I think that was the last time. And that was what, 2007?
Seven sounds right.
Yeah. So 10 years ago. Yes. Yes.
Well, I don't know. It feels like our lives are much more intertwined than maybe, you know, that resume of shared. Yeah, it's interesting.
And here we are back in Scotland.
Scotland, yes. Right.
Yes, different part of Scotland, I think, but in a different era. But anyway, it must feel good to be back on stage again.
It is. It's been 30 years since I've been on the Powerhouse. You know, that was the last time we worked together, and that was the last time I did a show there. So I'm very excited to get back. It was interesting walking the halls and that's one of the things I really felt is just, boy, how many shows have taken place in that theater in the last 30 years. And, you know, I don't know. It's putting on a play is a real it consumes your life, you know, and you think of all the times that has happened, and you know, in that space, it's kind of special.
And you're carrying it on with this one.
We are.
There's some amazing language in this one.
Sure is, and Joe is quite. He's very demanding in terms of the specificity and being spot on in terms of the saying all the words in the right order, which you may take for granted, but there's really, as Joe said, there's very little margin for error. That it really is a dance between flow and great specificity, which takes a lot of repetition, a lot of going back, and as he reminded us, rehearsal is rehearing. So. And I love the fact that Joe is, he's attracted to plays that demand heightened language, and then that calls for working with actors who are capable of making the delineations and kinds of adjustments that he will call for. And sometimes you'll say, wow, I didn't even think of that particular, you know, spin on a line. But it's nice to be able to make those adjustments.
Well, in a play like this, too, if you messed something up, you could give away the whole thing. You know, and no pressure, you know, at all. But you really could. You could mess it up.
Sure, well, that's true of any play, but.
But particularly one that hangs so, so much on not giving things away until the proper time.
Right.
I mean, All in Good Time is very much a part of this play, because otherwise, you just skip to the end, and you don't want to do that. Because as a reader and somebody who's going to watch this, I want to enjoy the journey of getting there.
Because
that's just so much fun. And that's, to me, it seems like it's so much fun for you to play as well.
Well, it's going to be fun for the audience to see if they can figure out figure it out.
Yes. Yeah.
And I think if they get it, it's just going to be a lucky guess.
I do too, because it's not obvious. Well, gentlemen, always great to see you both.
Always great to talk to you.
And thank you so much for taking some time out of rehearsal.
We do appreciate you coming in to join us.
Yeah,
thank you.
Bonnie. Thank you.
Mark Corkins and Norman Moses star in the Midwest premiere of Jeffrey Hatcher's Holmes and Watson. It opened this past weekend at the Milwaukee Rep and runs through mid-December. There's more information at WUWM.com.